Hi, I'm Coach Corey Wayne, and this is my video coaching newsletter. And the topic of today's newsletter is going to be the one who got away. Well, I've got two emails I'm going to go through with you today. The first one is from a guy who started dating a coworker of his. He'd been friends with her for a while, but she was in a, I guess, apparently an abusive relationship. And then after that ended, they started dating, but then this guy came back into the picture, this abusive ex, because she thought he was the one that had gotten away. So obviously it created a lot of problems when this guy was trying to continue dating her. And the second email is a success story from a guy. I actually did a video newsletter for him about a little over 5 years ago, probably about 5.5 years ago at this point, called The Second Date. And so he shares a success story, what's happened. He's since gotten married, and a lot of great things have happened for him. So I thought two good, great contrasting emails, because obviously when he first came to me, he was having some problems with the woman that he was involved with. And then I think eventually he met somebody else, and they've kind of lived happily ever after. So this would be a good email, just because you see the same kind of behaviors over and over. Guys trying to have a good, healthy relationship with a woman who just, quite frankly, she belongs to the streets. So with that said, I've got a quote that I wrote, and then we'll go through the first guy's email. And the quote says, "When it comes to intimate relationships, there is no greater predictor of a person's behavior and suitability as a romantic partner than their relationship with their parents. People who grow up in balanced and healthy homes with a strong masculine father and feminine mother tend to make the best dating prospects. A lack of a strong masculine father typically results in feral human behavior, drama, no chill factor, bad communication, and a lack of emotional self-control. When cheating, lying, and infidelity are part of their upbringing, they tend to become more narcissistic, selfish, and devious. This is not always the case, but it's highly unlikely that people who come from broken homes get the therapy and self-help necessary to remedy their flaws. It's not your job to save or fix anybody, but to become the best version of yourself so that you can attract someone who matches and mirrors your healthy behavior really well." Super important. You just see this same thread over and over. A lot of times guys are trying to have a good, healthy relationship with a woman who's just, you know, she's hell on wheels, basically. And my first book, 3% Man, will help a lot, but you know, you can't make good wine from bad grapes or just some people that are feral humans, and it's not your job to save them, fix them, help them. It's just like trying to help somebody that's got a drug or an alcohol problem. It's like until they recognize that they have a problem, you can't help them. So you just wish the best and move on with your life, because life is just too short to put up with feral humans. Because, you know, all you got to do is get in your car and hop on the road, and they all drive slow in the left lane, and they cut you off. They zip by you when you're doing 80 miles an hour, and they're 3 feet off your front bumper because they have to get in front of you, and then they slow down when they get in front of you. So we have enough of them that we have to deal with in society. The last thing you want to do is have one in your inner circle in your intimate relationships. It's just some people you can't reach. It's, if they were screwed up before you met them, it's not your job to be Mr. White Knight and try to fix all their problems. So let's go through the first guy's email. It says, "Hi, Coach. So my marriage failed, and I hooked up with a colleague who had just gotten out of a physically abusive relationship." So people that stay in physically abusive relationships, they typically are going to have self-esteem issues. In other words, deep down, they don't think they're worthy of it, and they're worthy of something healthy. And oftentimes you see, especially women that are in these abusive relationships, that I was reading a letter the other day. It was actually one that Marilyn Monroe had written to Joe DiMaggio, who apparently, from what I had read, was very physically abusive towards her. And she was apologizing for what she had done to set him off, in essence. And so you see those kinds of behaviors, that she apologizes to her abuser. And when it's really the abuser is the one with the problem. So he says, I was 33 and she was 26 and way out of my league. Obviously, that's not a good mindset. So thinking a woman that's out of your league, you're already putting yourself in a fearful state that you're going to fear losing her, and you become attached. And you do and say things that are just simply not masculine and attractive because you don't think you're worthy. And obviously, at some point, usually pretty quickly, most women are going to pick up on that. And that's when they start to back away and test you. And then more of that, in other words, the more of your self-perception as being undesirable causes you to behave even more undesirable and turn her off even quicker. He says, I couldn't believe it. While we had always been close friends in and out of work, I had done everything to be friend-zoned. I was excessively nice. I let her get away with so much, and I put my neck in the line for her more than once. Yeah, the thing that everybody fails to notice when they're doing things like that is that it's not reciprocated. She's not reciprocating this kind of behavior. It's like you're throwing yourself into a puddle of water so she doesn't get her feet wet, and you let her walk across her back. But she would never do anything to return the favor or do something nice in return. He says, but somehow it happened and I hooked up with the girl at work everyone wanted. Things were incredible for 6 months. The reality is attraction is not a choice. She already liked him. And that's the thing that most people don't realize. There's just some women that, whatever reason, you push their buttons. You do it for them. He says, when a different ex-boyfriend showed up, having been friends for so long before, I knew all about him. He was the one who got away, the love of her life, unfinished business, etc., etc. So, obviously, it's pretty clear that she doesn't do a good job of picking out guys to date. And again, that comes from not having a good, strong, healthy, masculine father around. He says, so I told her, if you think you can make it work and you'll be happy with him, then make the decision. And I backed off. So you're dating this girl for 6 months and she's like, oh, hey, my ex-boyfriend's back in the picture and I think I want to explore things with him. Okay, yeah, we'll just pause on our relationship and you can go back to having sex with him and seeing if it'll work. At that point, I would have been like, hey, we've been seeing each other for 6 months. It's like, if you're telling me you want to now date your ex-boyfriend, it's like, well, I'm going to date other women and I probably don't want to date you anymore at all. And friend zone her. Why would you want to date somebody that wants to break up with you to go back to somebody who sucked and was abusive? It's just not worth it. Because what would change? Didn't work the first time? With somebody like this, probably not going to work the second time around. Again, it's a different situation where the woman, you're dating a good quality woman and you're just doing things to screw it up and turn her off. But in this particular case, he's doing things, obviously, to turn her off. And on top of that, she's not really a good prospect. So you have two negatives going on there. And obviously, what I work with guys is helping them correct their behavior with my first book, 3% Man. He vanished as soon as he appeared, but things didn't go back the way they were between us. She wanted my constant attention, but nothing else. This was when I discovered you. And after a quick Google search, I found your website and read some of your work. I applied the principles, and by the end of the day, we were having sex. I didn't cherry pick. I instantly bought both of your books, and I'm only halfway through 3% Man at this point, and I subscribed to your coaching newsletter as soon as I got home. He says, just as things were getting back on track, notice how he says, I wasn't cherry picking, but I've only read your book, half the book. So obviously he's had it for a while, so yeah, you're cherry picking, bro. Just as things were getting back on track, the abusive ex started sniffing her around her again. He fit the description you wrote about in Control Freaks and Abusive Men and 3% Man perfectly. Obviously it sounds like she's got some daddy issues there. He says, I didn't make a big deal of it because they did have things they needed to sort out. Getting his name off the lease and bills, who got the TV, who got the car, etc. But he kept reappearing, being so charming, and she was a fool for falling for it. I told her if she was stupid enough to fall for it again, then she deserved him, and I said I would fight for her, but not over her. Yeah, it's like, why would you want to fight for somebody that's like, hey, I think I want to take a time out and go see if I can rekindle things with the old abusive ex-boyfriend, who she's still on the lease with, apparently. And so it sounds like this guy was before the other ex who was abusive physically. So obviously she's not making good romantic choices. She kept seeing him, which was pissing me off, but I didn't know how to deal with it. Soon enough, though, his charming mask slipped and his true self came back out and she was finally done. This was when she came back to me, madly in love, saying things like she realized she was lying to herself and I am all she ever wanted. She's completely driven by her emotions and has no idea or even contemplates why she feels the way she feels. She's just going with her emotions and what feels right, even if it's messed up. Because, again, she didn't learn that growing up. He says she wanted to be together all the time and was being the perfect girlfriend, so much I couldn't remember the last time I slept in my own bed. Then about a month ago, she says she wanted us to take a break. I'm getting too much, and I hadn't changed at all, but it was obvious in the previous week she had been losing interest. Again, you never read 3% Man because you're like, hey, I cherry-picked a few things. Even though you told me I wasn't cherry-picking, it's like, dude, you were cherry-picking. He says, I apply the principles I learned, and soon enough we were having sex again. Then it repeats itself. It's become a bad joke. Again, because you haven't learned the fundamentals. You're not following instructions. It's like you're only coming back to my work when there's a problem. And the idea is you want to learn the material. That's why I say read it 10 to 15 times so you're consistent. Because you are consistently inconsistent, and that's why her behavior is all over the ice. He says, I'm not asking for advice. I just want to say thanks. Listening to your video coaching, I started putting the pieces together and figured out why her behavior was so up and down and occasionally toxic. While she appeared to have the perfect family life coming from a wealthy upper-class family, I saw everything wasn't as it appeared on the surface. She had daddy and abandonment issues and were all there. It was a hard realization to make, but I accepted I cannot fix her and it's not my job either. Well, that's good. That's the important thing. He says, what I really want to thank you for, though, is pointing out how most toxic and flaky women end up this way because of a lack of a strong father figure. Me and my ex-wife have a baby daughter, and listening to you made me realize how truly important it is that I am there for her growing up. To that end, I have worked hard to remain amicable with my ex and be there for my daughter no matter what. Well, I think that's awesome, dude. Because the last thing the world needs is another fucked up chick. Because there's lots of them out there. And obviously right now, you have the power to do something about it. But again, she needs to see a good example of a healthy relationship. And that's why you need to read 3% Man 10 to 15 times. Not cherry picking half the book. Because you're just not going to get sustainable success, especially if you meet somebody that's actually a good catch and then you haven't overcome this needy, insecure, doormat type of behavior. Eventually, you'll turn off a really good prospect and that'll sting. It's different for every guy. It's guys will sit there. I know there's literally thousands of dudes watching this video. They're like, yeah, I got to get around that book. Yeah, I'm going to do that, Corey. Yeah. Oh, hey, this girl, we're hooking up. Everything's great. I don't need to read your whole damn book. I'm different. I'm smart. My memory's really good. Whatever it happens to be. And then 6 months later, you know, I need to do a phone session right away. So let's go through the second guy's email. He says, hey, Corey Wayne, I wrote you early in my new dating life, and luckily you responded with this video titled The Second Date. This one goes back to 2015. The original video. Man, it was 5 years ago. It's been 5 years since that video, and since then I have married an amazing woman and have dated several high-quality women along the way. It took about 1 to 2 years before it all clicked for me. The principles that worked for me was understanding how to set up and perform a date, hang out, have fun, and hook up, and how to act when not together, not being needy. Although I've always been called handsome and charismatic, until I learned these things, the girls I wanted always left me. I'm writing to thank you. You've literally changed the trajectory of my life, and to provide some hope to those out there who may still be unfulfilled in their dating life. Once you really learn these principles, you'll find that anything dating related is almost exclusively in your court. Who to date, when to date, marriage? It's all up to you. Good looking or not, rich or not, in shape or not, women only focus on how they feel with you. Absolutely true. All you got to do is look at the last email. Woman's driven by her emotions, good and bad. Whether she makes good choices, bad choices, doesn't matter. She's just riding the wave of emotions because there was no father there to teach her how to chill, how to be chill and not be a feral human and not spend her time with douchebags or the douche canoes. Once you stop focusing on attachment with them, in other words, always asking, what are we? And just focus on having a good time and hooking up, they flock to you. All I can say is read the book, watch the videos, apply it in your own life, and know that it will take time to fully understand the stuff and you'll be successful. Over time, I realized that dating became very predictable, but luckily spending time with an amazing woman is always fulfilling. I can't thank you enough, Corey. You truly help people fulfill such an important pillar of a great life. Thank you for everything, Bob. Well, thanks for the good success story, Bob. And if you haven't read 3% Man yet or my second book, Mastering Yourself, if you go to understandingrelationships.com and subscribe to the email newsletter, you can read both of them on my website for free. Obviously, if you like these sweet She Belongs to the Streets mugs, to remind you to stay away from feral women, go to teespring.com and search for the Coach Corey Wayne store. And if you've got a personal or professional situation you'd like to get my help with, go to understandrelationships.com, click the products tab at the top of your screen, and book a coaching session with yours truly. Until next time, I will talk to you soon.